Okay, I think we're live. We have the patriarch of the family.
Good morning, everybody.
My mother, Pat McClendon. Welcome to God Stories, everybody. We've been having a tumultuous morning this morning. I woke up from a dream with somebody accusing me. And I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. And then we got to try and get this video working. And then she had a tripod, a little bitty tripod. And we went to open it and it just fell apart in our hands. And so we've got the camera right now on a stool on the kitchen table, leaning up against a book.
That's right. You know, when you do it, you just do what you got to do, man.
Yeah. But we're here in Shreveport. I'm here in Shreveport with Mom and the guys down here. And thank God we can do this live on this Vimeo app through our phone. So, but we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to start off where I left off in Ezekiel 37. So if you want to turn there, you can, because I'm going to reread it so that we can understand, you know, where we're going as far as the valley, Ezekiel, what God is doing, how to understand Jesus, because Ezekiel here is a type of Jesus before Jesus manifest. And I think Ezekiel should be a type, you know, of Jesus like us. We should be this way. It doesn't matter where God drops us. We should be able to speak life wherever he puts us. And that's really a test for us.
Yeah.
Is, are we going to speak life in the midst of our valleys, or are we going to speak life, a death in the valley? And then when we start feeling good, or when we're in a, you know, a better place, that's when we can speak life. But, but if you're possessed or controlled or choosing to obey the Spirit, instead of our feelings, then we have to actually speak life, whether we're in the valley or whether we're in the mountain.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that reminds me of the children of Israel. God brought them out of bondage, and as they, it wasn't very long, their mouth began to really curse God. They didn't begin to bless God and thank him for bringing them out, because it was all about me.
Yeah.
No water, the water first, and then the manna, and then they started complaining.
About the manna.
Yeah, every day
they got
fed
the quail.
Them, but then they complained.
Yeah. And that's part of why they didn't enter in.
Absolutely. When they could go out and say, Father, thank you for feeding us every day. You really bring a blessing on what God does for you, whether you think that manna is getting, you're tired of and you won't quail, but you bring a blessing on it, and it really feeds you more than just your appetite.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm going to read this part that we left off last Tuesday in Ezekiel 37, because there's still some points here that I'd like to kind of throw out, because as we know, and probably you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I like to say it again and keep plowing this thing, is that we're about to enter into a valley for a long season. It's going to feel like a long season, but if you're in the Lord, if you're in the Spirit, it's probably going to be the most wonderful time that we've ever walked in. I mean, you look at Jesus's life. If you looked at Jesus's life outside the religious mindset, Jesus's life was terrible. He never got a chance to really enjoy life. You know,
right.
He was constantly pressured. He was constantly accused, false accusation. There was always something negative that someone was saying or thinking about him wherever he went. It didn't matter where he went. Bless you.
Excuse me.
It didn't matter where he went. He was in a valley, and
yep.
God didn't let him out of the valley.
No.
There were times he would, you know, he would sneak off to pray. I think one of the reasons he would sneak off to pray is because he needed to get with the Lord as a human man, as a man, because it was beating him up so bad. And that's what we need. We need more of God in order to live in the valley that we're about to be placed in, because the Spirit is going to do this. It's not going to be the enemy. The Spirit's going to put us in a season of darkness to where the enemy is going to be, you know, flourishing, doing his thing. And there's going to be a lot of dry bones. There's going to be a lot of people that we think are disqualified, but that's the time that we're going to have to prophesy life. That's the time we're going to have to use our tongue to reverse the curse. Yeah. And reversing the curse doesn't mean you rebuke it and bind it.
Right.
God binds things. When you speak life, that's what binds the enemy.
Absolutely.
Life swallows up death. Yes. Just remember that. Life swallows up death.
Yes.
And that's what we've got to be made of. It's got to be part of our nature to give life wherever we go. It doesn't matter what happens to you in your life. We still got to give life. If Jesus could give life while they were beating him to death, mm-hmm. you know, stripping him of not only his clothes, but of the clothing of his own skin, just ripping him apart. Mm-hmm. And he still was giving life. I think there's a divine secret, a divine key here to us by looking at how Jesus, you know, betrayed himself portrayed himself to us as a shadow of the nature of the Father. Mm-hmm. And that nature of the Father is Spirit, which lives in all of us.
Yeah.
And I believe truly that we all get in certain situations and we have a temptation to say something evil or say something crass,
right.
You know, but in your spirit, it's the Spirit that you're built of. It's not that way. It's not its nature to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
But our fleshly nature loves that old, you know, kill, steal, and destroy stuff to where it tries to override what your spirit is saying.
You know, one of the things, as you were talking, it reminds me, out of abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks.
Right.
So when our mouth speaks these really curses is what it is on our own selves and others. When we murmur and complain or criticize, our heart is really there. So our heart has got to become like Jesus. His heart was always to do the will of the Father.
And that's the will of love.
That's the will of love, the divine nature of God himself in us. And I'm like David, Father, create within me a clean heart.
Right.
That's and right. Renew a right spirit. So I want both of those.
Right.
Then out of that will come a stream of life instead of dirty water.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I'm just sitting here listening to you. You know, most of us will probably be sitting here listening to these teachings and stuff. And we say, wow, it's really good. And, you know, man, that was a great message.
Yeah.
But, when you really hear the Lord in messages, it's really the Lord speaking.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think in the westernized world, we tend to hear a great message, but not plow it, not cultivate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to encourage you to work on this. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to work, to remind you to speak life, remind you of these messages that are being spoken. You know, if you're in a valley, that's the vow that the Spirit puts you there. You know, it doesn't matter what's happened. You're there for a reason. Now, if you made a mistake, you're in the valley. The Spirit is still there with you. He said he'd never leave us and forsake us. So it doesn't matter if you make a mistake and put you in the valley.
Right.
The Spirit is still there with you. And you have a choice to actually go with the Spirit, even while you're in the valley.
Right.
And speak those things that are not as though they were and speak life. You don't have to beat yourself up any more than what that mistake did, because that mistake was hard enough. It beat you up enough. And you don't have to deal with it anymore because it's beat you enough.
Right.
And you know the mistakes that you made, but you're in a valley maybe because of mistake.
Yeah.
But the Lord's there.
Yeah. And see, that is the Lord taking you there to deliver you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
I mean, And if you really think about it, it's in the valley where the greatest stuff grows. That's true. Not on the mountaintop.
Right.
Even the valley receives the water that comes from the mountains.
Yeah, it accumulates all the water.
Revelation word.
Yeah. That's where the moisture is.
Yeah, it's where the moisture is, but it comes down to you. And you take that, like Brett was saying, take what you're hearing. Let the revelation of that sink into your heart. And you begin to even pray over it and water it with the water of even your own spirit, and ask the Father to multiply that seed so it doesn't just become a little dead seed in your heart and becomes who you are.
So let's start at this thing. Ezekiel 37, verse 9. It says, "He also said to me, prophesy to the breath." Y'all remember us talking about this, prophesy to the breath. So they've come together, bone upon bone, you know, and this body, these people have supernaturally come together. Now, listen to this. This is amazing. These people have come together because a man chose to speak life.
Yeah, right.
He chose to obey the right spirit.
Yes.
He chose to speak truth in love. Mm-hmm. Now, think about that. Many of us have taken the bait of the enemy to speak truth, but this is true, taking the bait to speak truth, but with the wrong spirit.
Oh, absolutely.
And you end up killing the very person that you really love and you care for.
Right.
But he is choosing to speak the truth in the love. Now, he could have had his own attitude toward these people because these were dry people. Mm-hmm. They weren't together. Mm-hmm. They were scattered in the valley, and they had differences. I mean, you can imagine what it looks like even right now. We've got major differences between belief system, political system, you name it. You can get offended on a dime these days because of what you say. And the enemy's done this to separate us. And here we are not realizing it, but we're in a valley separated and we're all dry and don't realize it.
Right.
But he is choosing to speak truth in love, because God, through this process, as we, you know, studied it, is he's changing the way Ezekiel has to look at people.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we've got to do. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to change the way we look at people. Does God look at people the way that you do?
See, and Ezekiel was actually picking up what God saw.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, because when God tells him, well, speak, hey, do you think those dry bones can live? He's challenging Ezekiel about his mindset.
Right, because God's inspired, like, man, this is a great opportunity. You think these guys can live?
Yeah. You know? So when you see a person that's all dry or down and out, you know, and they're not up to your
standards,
let God say, hey, you think those dry bones can live? And you grasp what God sees, because God saw us in the dry bones of the valley.
No, we were very dry.
And he breathed on us and we came out. We came alive. You know, we're not out yet, but at least
we're alive.
We rattled. But thank goodness he saw us.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you look at this one man, he's with his tongue and his heart that has been changed. His heart was changed first. Then his tongue began to speak. And he began to do what God commanded him to do. And so it says in this, it says prophesy to the breath now. Now he's basically prophesying life to these bones. He's basically, through the tongue, he's releasing life, which here we've talked about last week, is the release of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They've all come together, you know, in one accord. Everything's great. You know, everybody's doing well, but they're missing something. They need the Holy Spirit. And so he chooses to speak to the breath of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And he says this, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. Man, that's powerful.
That is powerful.
And so we went back to this, and I also want to give you a shadow of what Jesus did. You know, Jesus did this at the end of his ministry in John 20, verse 22. You know, he's about to leave, and he says to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Now remember that. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." All right. "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." And that's, in other words, he's saying through what I've just given you, I've given you power to be like me. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he's doing.
Absolutely.
"I have now imparted my DNA for you to be able to forgive sin or forgive trespasses." Let's put it that way. But then he says, "If you retain the sins, you know, the sins of any, they are retained." So you either have the power to free someone, or you have the power to hold someone in bondage.
Yeah.
That's the power he's given us. Now think about that. That is the power that God has given man on the earth through his Spirit. So we see Ezekiel doing the same thing. He is choosing to release the power of God to set people free and give them the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And so he breathes on them. So as he breathes, they receive the Holy Spirit, but they also receive a power or a nature to be able to forgive sins or retain them. Now, if you look over there in, I think it's in Acts 2. Let's turn over there real quickly. Acts 2. Let's see. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, what? Now, really think about this. Mm-hmm. Jesus has come to dry bones.
Mm-hmm. Waiting around in the room.
Yeah. He's come even when he came to dry bones.
Right.
And he started prophesying to these dry bones through his life.
Right.
Because we'll look at it later.
Waking them up.
Yeah. We were enemies of the cross, but yet we were reconciled by him while we were still enemies.
Right.
Now that doesn't mean just at the cross it was happening. It was through Jesus's whole life.
Absolutely.
And so while even his own disciples were yet still his enemies, think about this. In other words, they were still grumbling and complaining at times. They scattered from him. You talk about an enemy, somebody that leaves you
absolutely
at the very time that you're needed.
Yes.
You
know, a betrayer.
And he still came back. Now think about this. And he still came back while they were in great fear and have left him on the cross.
Yeah.
They left him on the cross. You ever been left?
They didn't even bury him.
No, I mean, it's, yeah.
They didn't even do a good funeral. Didn't even walk with him for 3 years, buried him.
They didn't even do a pretty funeral for him.
That's right.
That is rejection.
That is rejection, man.
And then he comes back and walks through the wall.
That's crazy.
While they have already left him, scattered from him. They're bundled up together in a room. And here he comes, excited, saying, "Hey, touch me." I would have said, "I'm going to touch you."
Right.
You know? but that's the process of God. Most people that scatter from you, God will send you back.
Yes.
To bring them back together.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it works that way. God's that way, whether you like it or not. Now, you may not obey it.
Right.
And you may not go back to those spots and say, "Well, God hadn't called me there," or whatever. But I'm telling you, your nature is to reconcile.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that really reminds me. God loves that, because he even created out of chaos and darkness.
Right.
He didn't wait till there was so much light and peace and joy created. And that's what Jesus did. He went through the wall into a bunch of shaking disciples that were so scared that they were going to be on the cross next. That's what they were afraid of.
And you think, I mean, if you really take the scripture, he reconciled us to himself, yes. You know, even while we were still enemies. Think about this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but he's looking at them. He's died on the cross. He's laid down his life. He's resurrected. And yet then he thinks about his enemies or his disciples.
Right.
That had run away from him. So he's got a different mindset. He's thinking about, wow, I have got to go back to them and let them know it's okay.
Right.
I'm okay.
See, I'm alive.
I'm okay. And let them touch me. Mm-hmm. And even if I show myself to them, it will bring their mind back to that place of unity with me, right. So that we can't be separated.
Right.
Now he's thinking about doing that for them and him because he loves them so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you imagine us loving our enemies so much that that we want to go to them, so that we can put things back together?
And release them.
Oh, my Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's what he did. And so, of course, you see later on, we're at Pentecost. He breathes on them at one time, and then they're all in one accord. Here are all these people that are dry bones, just like in Ezekiel 37. They're together, but they need the breath of God. They need the four winds of God to breathe on them. And so it says they were in one accord, one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Are we going to fill people, even our enemies, with the Spirit of life? Or are we going to reject them or say negative things about them or go and, you know, and remind them of everything that they've done to us so that, you know, we can feel better than they do?
Yeah.
You know how that stuff goes.
Yeah.
We've got to get to a place to where we have the nature of the Holy Spirit.
Well, we actually have it. We just don't use it.
Yeah, that's why I said we got to get there.
Yeah, we've got to get the revelation of who we really actually are.
Yeah.
That it's Jesus in you. That's the hope of glory for everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. It brings the character of God himself on the earth.
Right.
Yes.
He wishes everybody to be saved.
Everybody. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's not to go to heaven.
Right. No.
I mean, being saved is much more than that.
No, it's not. It's not about.
Being saved from your own conscience that brings about death.
Yeah.
How would you like to cross over with your same old conscience? Where do you think you would be? Without God, you can't be grafted into that place of life. You know, he is the vine. Mm-hmm. And without him, we've got to be grafted in through him. And if we're grafted in through him, then we're bound to him.
Right.
You know, and then take on that very nature. But without the Spirit of God in our life, you can't do it. You might be together and you might have this great, you know, shindig, but if you don't have the Spirit of life flowing through you, which is the Holy Ghost.
Paul says you have a form of godliness.
Right. That's right.
But you deny the power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
In us.
But that what he's talking about is not just miracles, is it?
No, not at all. Miracles are just part of the package. And we're being transformed back into our original position, which is into the image of God, where we manifest his image here on earth. After you leave this earth, you ain't going to manifest on earth, right?
That's right.
So it's our responsibility, as God even gave Adam, the first Adam, is to subdue the earth. His responsibility was to represent God on earth in a chaotic earth.
That's right.
That was void and dark. That's our responsibility here. But I'm like you. You can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But then you have to recognize and come into the revelation of who you are in Christ.
That's good. That's what happened here. I mean, when the Holy Spirit filled them, they began to, it says, yeah, they began to speak with other language. I'll say other languages. Yeah. As the Spirit gave them utterance, because there were different types of people.
They didn't even have their own tongue now.
Right. That's, yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
we've got to get rid of our own tongue.
New tongue, man.
Right. Yeah. Because they started speaking truth.
Yes.
In love. Mm-hmm. In the Spirit.
So think about when all those people that were there anyway for Pentecost, and they heard the sound, they all came around. They could have said, see there, we tried to tell y'all what you were missing. Now we've got the whole package, y'all. Sorry, so-and-so.
Y'all are out.
We're the righteous ones.
We're the chosen ones.
Yeah.
Which, if you really think about it, they could have said that because they were the only ones that had the Holy Ghost at that point.
So see there, y'all are the ones.
Yeah. We're y'all are the outcasts.
You're damned. We're going to heaven.
Oh my goodness.
So we're going to hang our plaque up here on this upper room.
But they wanted to give it to everybody.
Everybody. Yes.
Which that tells you that everyone became like Jesus, and then they released life to more dry bones. And 3,000 dry bones,
oh man,
came together, and received Christ and the Holy Spirit, and the church started instantly.
Absolutely.
Now, think about how quick that happened. Just because they chose to allow the Holy Spirit to fill them, they started speaking another tongue, but they were speaking another nature.
From the divine.
That's right. That's
absolutely
right.
Yes.
In Proverbs 18, you know, verse 21, and a lot of us know this scripture, but we may not obey it. But it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. That means if you love speaking death, you'll eat that fruit.
Yep.
But if you love speaking life, you'll eat that fruit. Whatever you speak, you eat of. Mm-hmm. And that's what causes either trouble in our life or sickness. Sometimes sicknesses in our life, sicknesses in our body. I mean, how many of us have ever been in a situation where you're in a room and one person, just one person out of everybody in that room speaks something that may sound true, but it's more critical or everybody knows that it's a slanted, like, how could you say?
It's from a wrong spirit.
Yeah, a wrong spirit.
Right.
Now, as soon as they say it, how many of us feel this cringing?
Oh, it changes the whole atmosphere.
Exactly. One little speak of death.
Absolutely.
Can set a whole forest afire.
Right.
Now, a whole forest afire in James, I think it's in James 3, which I'm going to pull up. Let me pull this up real quick. Yeah, James 3. Let's read this. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Man, I pray. There's times where I've asked the Lord, could I back up?
Yeah.
For we all stumble in many things. There's a grace period. There is a grace statement.
Absolutely.
We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So that means you're able to actually bridle your tongue, and you're bridling your body. Now watch this. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also at ships. This still amazes me. Uh-huh. At ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So you can have the Holy Spirit blowing you in a certain direction, but when your tongue decides not to be guided by the wind and you turn it another way, you're going to go against what God has made you.
Yeah.
And you become a different person. Right. All right. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest is a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a whole world, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fire by hell. So there's either heaven or hell that can come out of your mouth. Now, going back to that place when you're in the room, if you really think about it, you speak one thing like we were talking about, a negative thing, some kind of cross thing, and you think about people as trees.
Yeah. So you've lit the match.
You kindled a small fire, and you started burning up the whole forest. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the blind man seeing men like trees walking? Because he was seeing like God sees. Because we all bear certain fruits, right? Because we're like a tree.
Right.
All right. So you speak one little thing that kindles one small fire.
Yeah.
And it starts burning up the whole room, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know, while you're talking, the thing that I was reminded of, the very thing when Isaiah saw God, he realized his mouth was in trouble.
That's right.
He said, and they took a coal. They took a coal of fire and put on his tongue because he realized this very principle.
Right.
That his mouth needed to be cleansed because you are not going to do the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. God doesn't want to cut your tongue out.
Yeah.
He wants to use it for good.
Yeah, I think he actually put it on his lips.
Yeah, well, on his lips.
But he was talking about his tongue.
That, right. I mean, you can't talk with just your tongue.
Right.
Yeah.
He was cleansing his mouth.
He was cleansing his mouth. Yeah. Yes. And he got convicted.
Yeah, the one, it says in verse 6, it says, the one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs. Even the angel can carry that type of spirit.
Right.
That what the coal is the spirit.
Yes.
Even an angel couldn't handle it. But God has given it to us.
And look,
now think about that power that God has given us.
Yes. And look, when he touches it, it says your iniquity is taken away.
Right.
So our tongue carries.
And your sin is purged.
Yes.
Right here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about here. I mean, the tongue, we all know, but through James 3, it says, you know, nature was tamed by it. But it should not be so, James talks about.
Right.
I think the bridle that we need is the Spirit.
Yes.
But we've got to obey the Spirit. And I put it this way, in the last few days that I've been living, I say the last year, is we've got to learn to be controlled by love.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is the greatest power. That is God.
Yeah.
Love is God.
And that doesn't mean what you do. It's his nature in you.
It's his nature.
If you go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and really read what love is, not does, then if you need long suffering, just drink from that well.
Right.
And God doesn't even take into account wrongs. Well, if you get mistreated, drink from that well.
Yeah.
Let that come up because that's the river that runs and flows through us. Let that part of that river then come up out of you and say, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm not going to count your sins against me.
I mean, I'll give you an example from this morning. I mean, you know, after I woke up with a certain person in my dream that was accusing me, you know, you wake up with that feeling, you know, like, man, I'd like to knock his head off. Yeah. And then, you know, you wake up with that thing. And then we come in here and we're getting ready. And then we open up this little bitty dinky tripod that she bought. And the whole thing just, you know, just literally just exploded.
Get to stand up. That's a good word. Yeah.
and it just fell all over. The parts fell all over. And it's so intricate. We were trying to put it back. And the more we'd put it back, it just fall.
The more confused we got.
And man, I'm going to tell you what. It was one of those mornings where, I thought, oh God, my whole spirit was just, I was wanting to rile up, but I went to the bathroom just to give myself a break, brush my teeth. And I asked the Holy Spirit, that was the key for me, is I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, you've got to help me. And you know what he said? In almost a, like he's questioning me. He said, well, I'm still here.
Yeah.
In other words, I've never
drink
changed.
From the right stream.
Exactly. He said, well, I'm still here. Because here's two things is we've been taught that because your spirit is wrong, the spirit's left you.
Right.
We've been taught that through this teaching of the cross that Jesus left. I mean, the Holy Spirit left Jesus, you know, because he became sin.
Right.
The Holy Spirit didn't leave Jesus.
No.
He never left Jesus.
No.
Mm-mm. When he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It's because he had taken on all sin, which caused his conscience to be separated from Christ, from God. But God had never left him.
No, but that even reminds me of he became the last Adam, right?
Right, yeah.
That's
right.
The last Adam hanging up there. And he became us. He became sin. He
right.
didn't sin, he became sin.
Right.
So you think of Adam, he went and hid because he go, Father, where are you? You know, when Jesus said that, it reminded me of the first Adam that went and hid.
Yeah. He didn't hide. He was blatantly and naked.
Yeah, but he had lost that connection with God.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, I'll just tell you, life is always at your fingertips. It doesn't matter what kind of attitude you're in. It doesn't matter. There is no excuses.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing about Jesus is when you look at Jesus, he was a man. He was not a robot. And so when we look at man, we look at the man, the last Adam, it really makes us have to say to ourselves, there are no excuses.
There won't be.
All I need is Jesus in my life to help me, guide me and help me grow into the nature that is not of this world.
That's right.
Most of us like to go along with the world. But if you're going to live with Christ and you're going to walk with him, you're not going to be like this world. Your mindset is not going to be. You're going to love when everybody says hate. You're going to end up loving the ones that people don't love, whether they're political, whether they're political people, whether they're people on the street, whether they're religious people people can't stand. It doesn't matter. There is no stipulations in the place of love.
That's right.
There's no division.
That's right.
There's no good and bad.
That's right.
It's just God. And that's the way we've got to live. And so if you look at this through these types of eyes where Ezekiel is, he is breathing on people through his tongue. He's prophesying breath. He's prophesying life to these people. And God has given him the power to release the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's given us. He's given us the power to release the Holy Spirit to people.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's why you lay hands on people and for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But that's not just one way. It's when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak, it releases the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. for people to actually feel and to acknowledge and to be able to go, oh my gosh, I want this, you know. And as soon as they say, honestly, as soon as they say, man, I want this, they already have it. You're already going to say, well, let's just pray, but you're confirming by the laying on of hands and you're ordaining what the Holy Spirit's doing.
And if you are really actually allowing the nature of the divine love in you, which is God himself, become what it's supposed to become, your mouth will speak the right thing.
That's true.
And when it does speak, the spirit that's behind it brings the life. It's not you.
Right.
It's the spirit behind it. That releases the people.
Yeah.
And they catch that spirit. They catch that. It's really the breath.
Right.
And they catch that breath and it brings them to life. They actually come to and they go, man, I want. They awaken and they want what they see that you're carrying.
I'm just going to read this one verse, you know, Colossians 1:21 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy.
Yes. And blameless. Oh. Wow.
While we were enemies.
Right.
Think about that. Because of what he became for us, it set us free.
Yes.
That's amazing.
That is.
So while we're enemies, he's still thinking, I want them in my house, Daddy.
But think about enemies in your mind.
Right.
Because your mind has got to be changed. You got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind for your tongue to speak right.
Right.
Because it's out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, right?
Right, right.
So our minds are going to have to start changing and be renewed.
I think we, in the coming days, we're going to have such power to reconcile because there's going to be such opportunity to hate.
Oh,
there's going to be,
man.
There's going to be such opportunity. There's going to be opportunity. It's already happening now. I mean, there's opportunities of being just, you're an island to yourself.
Absolutely.
And when you're an island to yourself, you actually think that you know that you're right all the time. You can't take counsel, and everything you say is right. Mm-hmm. And
you have scripture for it.
And you might have scripture for it if you're a Christian.
Yeah, right.
But there is such a culmination. It's almost like a perfect storm's coming to actually wake up Christ in us.
Yes.
It is going to be so dark that you're going to want to go with the world because the world's going that way.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you're not and you're walking like God, it's going to be so different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Than what the world is doing, what your neighbor's doing, what your neighborhood is doing. And you're going to be walking. So just to be kind in the midst of trouble is going to be a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
You're going to be weird.
You're going to be weird.
Yeah.
You're going to be stoned for it.
And
you're going to
be crucified
for it.
One in your whole neighborhood or family.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we're getting there. But it's going to be the most glorious time because we are going to be in the Spirit. We're going to be controlled by love, and we're not going to be seeing the world as darkness. We're going to see it as opportunity for God to move.
Yes.
I'm telling you. We're going to see hope in the midst of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. That's the way we've got to look at each other as well. Every one of us, we've got to look at each other through hope. We got to look at each other through the mind of Christ.
Right.
And so here he is preaching to the four winds. The Holy Spirit comes like he did in Acts 2. And we ended up saying, you know, the presence of God came. And it came upon the, you know, the people there, and 3,000 there was added to the church. So when you release life, you release the presence. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many times, I know in my life and I know in your life, we have had opportunities when someone's not doing well and they shouldn't be doing well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because they, you know, you
that's
made your bed.
That's what they get.
Right. That's what they get.
Yeah.
And we have had the opportunity to be able to go, you know what, that was a bad thing, you know, and kind of go along with them. But yet somehow through a miracle, God has allowed us to speak something different that really gave life in the midst of their really mistake.
Absolutely. Yeah. Show mercy. Yeah. And let the grace of God that's in you, which is the power, to come forth and breathe on them, you know. And it can be not just so much a speaking of thing. It can be your attitude toward them.
Oh, totally. The way you look at them.
It's that spirit that comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do they do when they're sitting there talking and throwing up on you, and then you end up speaking life in the midst of that stuff? You're not trying to change them.
Right.
What is their reaction when they see your eyes and your nature and your speaking encouragement in the midst of really the world would say you need to really correct this thing? What is their response when you speak life?
Well, if they're a Pharisee, they'll pick up a stone.
Well, true.
But if it's, you know, if you're speaking, if they're really hungry and they're, then when you do that, they get convicted really, and they humble themselves and realize, and then the life comes into them and changes them. But you're not after that. You're not after that type result. You're just there to represent God still loves them in the state that they're in.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting here thinking how many times, and I'll be honest with you, there are times where I've been in an intense moment. I've recently been here. I mean, what I mean recently, it seems like that's all I live. But
I think that's going to become the norm.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it has become the norm. But there's no telling how many times I've been in situations where my flesh has given me reasons that are right.
Absolutely.
To be able either to defend myself or to smoke that person in front of me because they don't realize what spirit they're in. And man, I could just let them have it because of the gift of God that's given, he's given me, and use that gift to just kill them.
Yeah.
And there's times where I've felt all that stirring up in me, and yet the Holy Spirit just uses me and I hug them.
Uh-huh.
Now while I'm hugging them, I'm dying. They don't realize this.
Absolutely.
But I'm dying. But while I'm dying, as you die, you exude then the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, in your weakness, he's made known.
Right.
Right? It's in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. So it's when you don't feel it. It's when you feel your flesh burning and inside and you're dying. That's when God is coming out. If you are dying to your own will, that means God is coming out. But we have been taught that we've got to feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. And fix it.
And fix it.
You need to tell them where they're wrong. And you need to correct them now. You know, you want to keep them from going to hell, so you need to correct them.
And there's no telling how many times that I've died to myself. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm trying to give you that I have myself wanted to cuss them out, and be honest with you. And I can feel it. But the Holy Spirit is saying, let's hug them. That means I can't hug them unless you show them a hug.
Right.
We are the representations physically of the Lord. Okay. Right. And when I died, that doesn't mean I felt good for me.
No. You're having to give up. You're actually dying to your own will and your flesh is.
They're not needing my love. No. They're needing the Holy Spirit's love.
Right.
And so when I died, the Holy Spirit then is able to come out. Christ is able to live and they feel Lord. Now here's what's happened before. Mm-hmm. After the worst encounter with me, inside of me, after I've hugged them, man, they just fall apart and they start crying. And then they whisper, this is Jesus. And I'm whispering, this is hell on this side because my flesh is not liking Christ living.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's going to argue with it.
Absolutely.
You should not be hugging this person.
Absolutely.
They're going to hurt you.
Right. But I really think if you come to that place like Jesus is, where you don't hurt anymore.
You don't hurt anymore because your flesh dies.
It's just that flowing out of God's nature.
Yeah. It's like Larry Randolph told me a long time ago. It was about prophecy, but this is such a true statement. I said, how did you learn to be so accurate? He said, by listening to the Spirit. I said, I understand that, but how did you get so accurate? Mm-hmm. He said, practice makes perfect.
Yes.
Now, what he meant was practice, in other words, obeying the Spirit puts you in a place of perfection.
Absolutely.
He wasn't talking about just the accuracy of, you know, words.
Right.
He was saying, the more you obey the Spirit,
right,
the more you become
obedience.
Like it. You become prophecy.
Absolutely.
And man, I'm going to tell you what, that stuck with me. Because there were times, I've talked to him, you know, in years past, there were times he didn't want to prophesy. There were times where he wasn't doing well.
Sure.
They asked him to come up on the stage and prophesy, and he didn't want to give another word to a bunch of, you know, people.
Right.
He was wanting to do his own thing, you know, and
sure.
And instead, the Holy Spirit say, hey, I really do want to prophesy to these people.
Right.
And you obey the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Not yourself. But here's the good thing is after you die and the Spirit starts working through you.
Right.
Then you feel it.
Right. Then
you feel the outpouring.
Yes. You feel that nature of God coming through you.
Yeah.
Through your hands, but even through your eyes.
Absolutely.
Through every part of you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that room, you know, think about how people followed Jesus. It wasn't because he stood on a stump and commanded them to come and so they can get there, be saved from hell.
Right.
They saw something in him that they wanted.
That's true.
And it was the nature of God in him. That they just followed him and just, what's he going to do next? What's going to happen now? You know, he can heal my daughter or whatever. So they were hungry to see, is this the real Messiah?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kept watching to see if he was going to change back into like them, you know, and he never did.
Yes.
He was the same.
Yeah. They misunderstood that it was going to be a Messiah that's going to live among all men. Because they thought he was the one that's going to come deliver them from Rome. But there was something about it. It had to be something about Jesus for you to drop your net and follow him.
Oh, man. He was kind.
You know, he didn't tell them to. He just said, come follow me.
Yeah.
So just for them to get a revelation that they didn't even understand, that's they dropped their nets and followed him.
So they followed the way he walked.
The way he walked.
That's what we've got to do. I just want to throw this out before we leave. You know, we're talking about, you know, Ezekiel releasing the breath, the Holy Spirit coming, and even upon the enemies, his own, Christ's own enemies, you know, and then the Holy Spirit, you know, pours out through the disciples upon many enemies that were, you know, there in Acts 2, you know, but I just want to throw something out here that reflects that, you know, we're talking about God, the Spirit of God, taking us to a season of the valley, but yet through the season of the valley, we're going to be taught how to come together through the Spirit. We're going to be taught how to breathe upon each other with the Spirit of life. We're going to be taught how Christ actually walks in the place of the valley. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the most lovable time that we've ever been in. There won't be another time like it. Mm-hmm. This walk through the valley will not be another time. You better embrace where you are right now in this place of the valley, because it's really the Spirit of God is using this to put us all together. But it's going to change us to be able to breathe breath in the time of darkness, in the time where everybody's dry and bitter and running with the world. And just here's one right here. You know, I've read this, I don't know how many times, but I love this scripture out of Mark 2. Here's Jesus, or you could say Ezekiel, either one. Jesus is now in his house. There's not room, you know, for anyone. They bring a paralytic man on, and everybody knows they tear down the roof. They let him down. And while he's doing this miracle, I mean, the miracle was he called this twisted up guy, a son.
Yeah.
Okay. He's already seeing him already being transformed.
Right.
Because he's coming down into that presence of the Lord.
Right.
But while that's going on, there's these others that know everything. They're reasoning in their hearts.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how can he forgive sin?
Right.
They're thinking he's placing himself in the place of, so there's this, it's not the thoughts, the words that they're thinking. Can you imagine the nature?
Oh, that came out of their mouths.
Oh my God. Oh, just their eyes and the way they're looking at him.
They need to take up their bed and walk.
That's right. And instead of looking at them as though you sorry, no goods. How dare you judge this? This man's a paralytic and God's trying to heal him.
Right.
How dare you? You are cursed. He looks at them, bends himself even more, and he looks at them through the eyes of, like Ezekiel had to look, he's looking at dry bones. Think about this. Mm-hmm. He's looking at dry bones. Besides, reasoning will make you dry.
Right.
I promise you.
Exactly.
It will make you dry. But it says, but immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, and everybody has perceived this, we all know this, that they reasoned thus within themselves. Y'all ever had anybody where you're doing saying something, the Holy Spirit's there, and then you look around and there's people going, oh, well, and they got that sour look on their face.
Right.
What does it do to you? Does it spur up to help, or does it spur up to be strong and loud? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Lord over them. and put them in submission.
Correct them.
Right. God does the very opposite. He backs down. Now watch this. He backs down because he loves them. He wants his enemies reconciled to God. He wants them to have the love of God again.
I know.
That's us being reconciled. He wants us to be reconciled back to the nature man.
Mm. Mm.
It's not a religion.
Not at all. No. That's what it means by life. Life doesn't have a thing to do with what you got. Because when you go to that grave, you ain't taking none of that with you. Your fishing rods, your guns, your deer heads.
Yeah. If you're not loving.
That's not life.
If you're not in the place of love, you're miserable.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
You have no life.
You're miserable.
Really. You think you have life, but you don't have life.
It's sad.
Right.
And he's seeing this.
Yes.
He is seeing this way.
Yes.
He's not looking at us. You know,
he loves.
I heard the other day, you know, somebody came to church and, you know, they were this way. Well, you know, why they come to church? Because that's where Jesus is supposed to be. You know, that if they're coming, that we've got to have weird, we got to have the strangest, we got to have the most hardest people. If they're being attracted there, that tells us that we're changing.
Right.
But man, the enemy would want us to say, man, I can't believe they're coming to church.
Right.
We've got to change that. If they're coming, they're a sign for us.
Yes.
That either we're changing or God wants us to change. I'm serious. Yes. That's our sign.
Yes.
And it's an invitation. But here's Jesus. He reasoned thus within himself, and he looks at them. Now, he doesn't look at them like we would, you know, real pompous. He's looking at them, trying to understand them. He's open to understanding them.
Really, through a broken heart.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he says, why do you reason about these things in your hearts?
Right.
He's not preaching at it.
No.
He's talking to them.
He's trying to wake them up.
Yeah, and he's saying, which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk. And he's saying it in this type of spirit. Of course, it's much better. I'm just this human person, you know. But he's saying, but he's basically saying, so you'll know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. In other words, I'm forgiving you your sins while I'm talking.
Right.
I mean, that's, he basically says, I'm going to do what you're wanting me to do.
Right.
I'm not going to say your sins are forgiven. I'm going to do it your way, mm-hmm. and I'm going to do it the church way, mm-hmm. all your religious way, and I'm just going to bend my knee so that you can be reconciled into this place of love and say, arise and take up your bed and go to your house. And the guy gets up. So that means they realized he had the power to forgive sin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they were all convicted.
Right.
Because they realized they were in sin.
Right. And see, it's the nature of sin that made the man a paralytic.
Yeah.
So Jesus forgave the sin and his body responded.
That's
because
right.
James talks about your body actually responds.
Oh, totally. Totally.
To the nature, either the nature of love right. or if we continue to let the nature of our old dead man flesh.
Yeah. And if you really think about it, she's made such a good point. It's the nature of sin that really twists up the body.
Absolutely.
But it's not like, it's not what you think. It's not what we thought. It's not like the guy did something wrong.
Right.
It's the nature of sin
yes.
that we are living in that's twisting up everybody.
Yeah.
It's allowing demons to have their way. It's allowing
how you think.
I mean, it's an atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Of the spirit of the world that twists everybody up.
Yeah.
And that's what's causing a lot of these things that are happening on the earth right now. And the first thing we've got to do is we've got to start breathing life.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to start prophesying life to one another.
And you know, I think we need to start prophesying life to our own selves.
I believe that.
In order for us to prophesy life to others. You can't give what you don't have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we need to stop our murmuring and complaining, start speaking and prophesying life to our own selves. And as we do that, we become what we prophesy, and then we're able to give that away to others.
Which we're living.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to give something that you're not living.
Absolutely.
It's just no power
in
it.
Yes.
So, we're going to stop there. Because we'll stay on this place called the presence. I'll give you a couple notes so that we can end here. That day, they all became selfless. That's one of the major things of those that really walk with the Lord.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, they're selfless. You can look at somebody that walks in the room, the way they carry themselves, the way they speak. There's such humility on it. They don't talk about themselves all the time. They're totally selfless. They're concentrating on caring for us, caring for other people. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the type of spirit these type of people carry.
I'm telling you.
They became selfless.
Yes.
In other words, they became like God. God is selfless. He's not selfish.
Right.
He's not full of himself. He empties himself constantly, yeah, even to us.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know, just this one thing, you know, we get the enemies get filled with the Spirit. The enemies of the cross get filled with the Spirit. They get reconciled to Jesus. Then they become, in Acts 2, they can become that nature of the Lord, and then they release the power and the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. I just made a note of this, because if you're looking at all these nations that are around this area,
mm-hmm,
they start speaking the oracles of God in their language,
mm-hmm,
but the spirit of life and the presence of God that's coming out of their mouth, it's no match for the enemy.
No.
Because there's unbelievers there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I wrote this note here. Even the enemy knows it's no match to the presence of God in our lives.
Right.
It drives out the enemy before our life.
Yes.
So if you, like you said, if we would start speaking even life to ourselves,
yes,
it would drive out the enemy.
Right.
It'd start driving out the strongholds.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you want to close the gates of hell in your mind, release the gates
release
of heaven.
Release the truth.
That's
start
right.
Speaking that and releasing the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly yourself. Right. In love.
In love. Absolutely.
In love. Yeah. That's what
it is. Quit rebuking the devil and start releasing truth. It's a truth that sets us free.
Right. Or if you want to rebuke the devil, speak love.
He'll just run off.
Right. He will get run off. That's why it says resist the devil.
He can't stand. Well, you draw nigh to God first.
You
got to do that first.
If you draw near to love first and resist the devil. In other words, there's going to be two things working.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to do your old nature while God is saying, come over here next to me and be drawn to love.
Mm-hmm.
And if you resist that, you're resisting Satan.
Right.
All right. Because then once you draw near to the Lord, you become like the Lord, and then he flees.
Yeah, because then there won't be nothing to resist.
That's right. That's exactly.
It's like you say, you become selfless.
You become selfless.
Yeah, so he can't fight something that's selfless.
That's right.
He's looking for flesh. Selfish.
That's right. That's right, because he's selfish.
And he runs.
Yeah, that's the nature of him.
That's exactly
right. He thinks about I.
That's right.
And that's where we're at. We're in the realm, this world is in the realm of I.
That's right.
Serious.
Me, me, me.
Yeah. He's trying to ascend right now and be God. That doesn't mean something happening in the heaven. That means the nature of that satanic realm is it's trying to take preference of I. In other words, selfishness is trying to take preference of selflessness.
Right.
The nature of God. But no, he doesn't realize, you know, he's getting set up for a selfless people to arise.
Right.
And speak life in the midst of selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Cool.
That was pretty good.
That was good. Yeah.
But, glad we manifested. Well, we love you guys.
Yes.
You got anything else you want to tell them up there?
I just want to bless every one of you. And I'm looking forward to getting good reports from Brad, from you guys, that how the Lord is really beginning to grow in you. And you're no longer little bitty babies. And you've become mature sons and daughters. Because that's what we are coming into. We're going to actually manifest Jesus himself on earth, which is God in us.
You know, I was just sitting, when you said little babies, my mom, we were sitting here yesterday morning. She's 81 years old. I hate to
say that. Yeah.
But she is just now.
Yes.
Coming into major, I'm talking major truths.
Yes.
Major revelations of Jesus.
Yes.
That is changing her. And yesterday she was thinking, what have I been doing all these years?
Right. Absolutely.
She's 81 years old. She's basically saying, I have been still a baby.
Yeah.
Now think about that.
Yeah.
But what the nature now she's exuding is freedom.
Yes.
She's not following rhetoric words. She's not, it's like, almost like it changes your nature to be a child. You get excited,
right.
You know, your whole nature changes.
Yeah. And I've realized that how I, and I'm not going to say everybody else, but how I was actually through the world system that's in the church was taught, you know, the wrong things. And, I've used God. Let me put it that way. I've used God for my own agendas.
Wow, that's huge.
And that is not why Jesus died. That's not why he died and rose from the grave.
Wow,
He did that so that we can become who he is. Yeah.
Not using.
I've actually used God. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a way to end. Well, Lord, we just ask. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by your spirit. We've tried power. We've tried might. We've run out.
Absolutely.
We've run out of our own line.
Thank goodness.
We need yours.
Yes. Absolutely.
And Lord, thank God you're making most of all of us at this point. Mm-hmm. Even the world is coming to its wit's end.
Yes.
And we thank you for it.
Father.
We thank you ahead of time.
Yes.
Thank you for getting us to our wit's end.
Yes.
And we just want to say how much we love you.
Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just pray over the seed that has been dropped in the hearts that have been listening to this morning, and I ask that it grows and becomes a great tree, a tree where even the birds can hang out.
Any bird.
People can come, people can come to that tree. So allow that seed that's been dropped in your heart, pray over it and prophesy over it and begin to water it with your tears and your humility. And let it begin to grow and become that oak tree that God wants you to be, where people find rest and security from the storms of life.
And Lord, I just pray for anyone that's made mistakes. This message is the Holy Spirit's convicted them.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just ask you give them strength to just say, Father, forgive
me. Yes.
And you're forgiven.
Absolutely.
You're completely forgiven. It's over. Move on. The Holy Spirit is still with you.
Yes.
That's just an area where you tripped up and your consciousness separated from the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's not the Lord separating from you.
Yes.
And just get back up on your feet. Even if you're bitter, if you're mad, it doesn't matter what's going on. Just ask, Father, forgive me.
Yes.
I want to be controlled by love.
Yes, Lord.
And just turn back to him. Today is the day. I mean, you just get up, start walking. You don't have to make steps to get there. That all of the fullness of God's love is there for you right now.
Yes.
Just to start over. I'm telling you, this year is a year of reset. It's going to be huge. It's going to be awesome for a lot of us.
Yes.
And our mistakes got us here.
That's right.
I'm telling you. Absolutely. Our mistakes got us here to this reset.
Yes. Guys, that's why I'm where I'm at right now.
That's right.
Because.
And we were talking about that.
Yeah. The things that I've been through, but it's been a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's taken off all the shell of my flesh.
That's true.
And it's a good thing. And God takes us through those things. And it's a good thing if we yield to Him and His purpose.
Well, we love you guys.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in at the kitchen of Pat McClendon, my mom.
Lord bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.